Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. John the Revelator, the Apostle John, the disciple John, is describing this vision that he had, and he's describing the throne room of God. And he comes to a moment in Revelation 5, verse 5, when he says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. As John the Baptist told the onlookers, see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So John the Revelator, John the Apostle, this elder would say to John, "Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David has triumphed." Hallelujah. "He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." I want you to pray. Jesus, I love you today, and I'm thankful for the message you put on my heart, the communion meal. And I just really sense in my spirit that the enemy is striving hard against us today. The enemy is really prying hard against our mind and our emotions and our thoughts, and we're just not going to succumb to that. We're going to recognize it for what it is. But God, I pray to this morning that the anointing would break the yoke of bondage, that the anointing would break the things that are hindering us, that the anointing would do what no man and woman cannot do. So God, give me wisdom and the courage to communicate what you put on my heart with clarity in a way that can be received and understood. Let this message ring loud and clear, the message of the Lion and the Lamb. God, we ask for your blessing. We ask for that anointing to rest in this house in Jesus' name. Say with me, amen. We live in a cultural paradigm right now. Not all of culture is this way, but segments of the culture are slowly but surely trying to remove faith from the public square. It's not just happening in America. This is not exclusive to America. This is happening all around the globe. And it's not exclusive to 2017 either. Since the inception of the church, whatever culture the church has been planted in, the culture has tried to compartmentalize the gospel and compartmentalize the church. Whether it was through the rhetoric and the philosophy of the first century, or whether it was through the persecution that has happened through the ages, the medieval times, the plagues, the things that happened with the papal system and the Reformation all throughout history, whether it was the Nicene councils and the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church and all these things, Christianity has always been hit. Christianity's always been attacked. Christianity's always kind of been shoved to the side and say, you just need to be in the corner. You just need to do your thing, but do it quietly, because culture can't always handle the gospel. Culture can't always handle the message of the cross, because sometimes it's divisive. Sometimes it's contrary to what we think about ourselves and the Word of God. And today we find that same thing to be true. We live in a culture where there's segments of our culture that just want the church to be quiet in their little corner, to have your Sunday gatherings and your Wednesday night youth groups, but just don't take it to the public square. Don't take it to the public schools. Don't take it to your workplace. Don't take it to your neighbor. Don't take it anywhere else. Just keep your gospel message inside the four walls of the church. That's a reality. We know we cannot pick and choose. We know that this life we live, that this forgiveness that we've experienced must be shared and it must be spoken. The gospel message must be promoted to the world that we live in. We cannot let the cultural paradigm, past, present, or future, dictate what we believe. We know this to be true. We have got to believe what the Word of God says. I want to preach to you a message today. The Lion and the Lamb, the church still needs both. The Lion and the Lamb, the church still needs both. Because what I see happening today is that there's certain segments that are taking one or the other, and we need both. We're taking the Lion, the aggressive roar of the Lion, and we're roaring hurtful things. The church is roaring hurtful, hateful things in some aspects of our Western culture. The church is doing more damage in some areas than it is doing good. And that makes the enemy really happy, because if he can distort the message of the Lion, then he's won. And then there's parts of our culture that say, well, you don't need the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You don't need the conqueror. You need the meekness of the Lamb. You need the quietness of the Lamb. You just need to celebrate the quietness of the Lamb. I'm suggesting today that the church needs to revisit what it is to have the Lion and the Lamb. I'm suggesting today that we look at the characteristics of the Lion and we look at the characteristics of the Lamb, and we see that both of those together equal such a beautiful, beautiful combination. John chapter 1, John the Baptist would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Revelation chapter 5, the elder would proclaim, "See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered." First Peter 5:8. You can turn there if you'd like to. It says, First Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaming lion looking for someone to devour." Be self-controlled and alert, Peter would tell his readers. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Isn't it interesting that the devil poses as a lion? I'm telling you that the lamb and all the qualities of the lamb that I talked about earlier, the lamb that was slain, we need to embrace the lamb that was slain. We need to embrace the meekness of the lamb, that lamb that allowed himself to be bound, that lamb that allowed himself to be crucified, that lamb that allowed his blood to be spilled, that lamb that gave up the ghost when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his life. That lamb that sacrificed for us needs to be recognized and honored in the church. But so does the lion, so does the conqueror, so does the powerful, so does the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The enemy, listen, poses as a lion. Jesus is the Lion, capital T, capital L, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, with all authority and all power and everything that comes with that. The enemy poses as a lion, small A, small L. The enemy poses as a lion, one that has gone rogue in rebellion and anger. We need a reminder sometimes, or we need to learn and know that the devil is at enmity with God and God's kingdom. The devil hates everything that God's kingdom stands for. The devil wants his own kingdom. The devil wants his own authority. He wants to rule with oppression and delusion. He wants to rule with strife and division and hatred. Make no mistake, the devil is seeking to kill and to steal and to destroy our lives, to bring destruction in abundance. The devil is posing as a lion. He's posing as the Lion of Judah. He's bringing something false so that he can kill and deceive and destroy. The devil wants nothing good for us. The devil wants nothing good for our world. He is so angry and at enmity with God, he will do anything he can to destroy what God has created, to destroy what God longs to bring to earth, to his kids, to his people. These things are the campaign promises of our enemy, the devil, and there are no limits to the depths to which he will stoop to enslave every possible victim he can get his hands on. This is the premise by which the enemy rules. In a very real and spiritual battlefield, he wants to intimidate us and emasculate us. The enemy comes in and he speaks devious lies to us. He tries to convince us that we are powerless and that we are weak, and that in that weakness, our only recourse is to give in to the kingdom of darkness and accept that perverted, depraved, and broken kingdom. That, my friend, is the enemy's aim. That is his desire. There is nothing good in him. So many of us, if we were to go across the room, could explain how the devil had deceived us, how the devil had lied to us, how the devil had wrapped his bondages around us. And when Christ found us, how messed up we are, how broken we were, how perverted we were, how messed up we were, how disillusioned we were, how awful we felt, and the decisions that we had made reflected how we felt about ourselves. We were stuck in our mire. We were stuck in our sin. We were stuck in a place where the devil had complete control on us. We were very literally a slave to every evil thing that the enemy wanted to bring against us. We could talk about all of those things, and that is the devil's bent. That is the devil's desire. And sometimes we forget that there is a world that he is roaming. There is a community that he is roaming, seeking whom he may devour. People are right now stuck in the same mess you were stuck in when Christ found you. And we have a message of hope. We have a message of the lion. We have a message of the lamb that redeems and restores and brings hope and brings healing to all of those people. We need to be reminded sometimes that the way God found us is the way he can find somebody else. And if we can be restored, somebody else can be restored. If we can be healed, somebody else can be healed. If our wounds can be mended, somebody else's wounds can be mended. If our doubts were erased, then somebody else's doubts were erased. If our fears were minimized, somebody else's fears can be minimized. If Christ can find me, then Christ can find someone else. If Christ can restore me, Christ can restore someone else. But the enemy is a lion who seeks to kill and to steal and to destroy. The only thing he wants to bring in abundance is destruction. The only thing he wants to give you in abundance is destruction. We say all of those things, and then in the very next sentence, we have this word right here. But God. The enemy comes, but God. The enemy speaks, but God. The enemy lies, but God. The enemy destroys, but God. The enemy breaks, but God. The enemy seeks to do all of those things that are so damaging. And the enemy brings an abundance of destruction, but God. How many of you have ever been in that spot where you just say, but God? That was there, but God. I could have been this, but God. I should have been this, but God. There's so many outcomes that could have happened, should have happened, might be happening, but God. Because God is still the lion. He's still the lamb. He is still the lion that is in control, but God. There is another king. There is a king, and he rules the kingdom of darkness, and we know that all too well. But I'm telling us, church, I'm encouraging you, church. I feel like a coach giving a halftime speech or something, because we got a third and fourth quarter to play. The game is not over. We got a third and a fourth quarter to play. First half didn't look so good, maybe. First half, we saw some ups, maybe some downs. First half, the offense didn't do what it wanted to. Maybe our defense lacked a little bit. But we got a third and a fourth. We can't dwell in the first half. We got a second half to play. That's where we're at in our nation. That's where we're at in our church. That's where we're at in our community. That's where we're at in our world. We've had a first half. The second half is still available to play. And the first half may not have went your way. First half may not have went our way. But I'm telling you. This is our half-game speech. This is our halftime speech. This is our halftime rally call. We got a third quarter. We got a fourth quarter. And do we still believe that God is able? Do we still believe that God is the lion and the lamb? Do we still believe that his sacrifice matters? You bet we do. And there's nothing going to stand between us and winning the third and the fourth quarter. But God, there is another king. There is another kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this world. John 18:36 says, a kingdom that will not end. There is a kingdom that has not been influenced or steered or perverted by the immorality of the world. And it's ruled by a stately king. Come on, church. It is ruled by a stately king. It is ruled by an honorable king. It is ruled by a sacrificing king. It is ruled by a king that says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. That kingdom is ruled by a king that says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life, and I want to bring life in abundance. When the enemy comes with destruction in abundance, our king says, I bring life, and I give life in abundance. You can find that in John 10:10. This kingdom is ruled by a king that says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, the price of my son. The price is a savior, the blood of the sacrifice. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And 20. There is another king. There is another king, a lion and a lamb. The Almighty, who is not an imposter. He is not a small A and a small L lion. He is a capital T, capital L lion. He is a capital T, capital L lamb. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the lion and the lamb. His name is God Almighty, who is not an imposter, but the true lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who comes to give hope and healing, joy and laughter, repentance and restoration. He seeks to give and not to kill. He seeks to forgive, not to condemn. He seeks those who are lost, because lost lives matter. He seeks to give life and not death. He is the one who never gives up. He is the one who never gives in. And he is the one who will never, ever, ever sell you out. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the King, the Lion, and the Lamb who has come. He is Emmanuel, who is God with us. And not just God with us, but God for us. God with us and God for us, so that he may give life and give it in abundance. And this king has something that the other king does not have. That king of the kingdom of darkness wants to make you think that he has power and authority, but I'm telling you, he's got nothing. He's got nothing that hasn't been given him by the one who is in control of him. The imposter says that he has power to rule your life. The imposter says that he has the authority to determine your direction and your future. The imposter says that he will do the things that he says he will. The imposter lies to you and speaks those lies to your mind. The imposter does all those things. But there is a true king. There is another king. This king has given us authority. This king has not harbored this authority to himself. This king of kings, this lion, this king does not hold authority out there like a carrot for you to chase. This king has given you authority. This king has given us power. He has given us the ability to overcome the evil one. This king has not been stingy with his power. As a matter of fact, the same power that would raise him from the dead is the same power that he gives to you and he gives to me. The same power that allowed him to knock on the gates of hell and set those captives free is the same power that resides in you and allows you to knock on the gates of hell and set the captives free. The same power that raised him from the dead is the same power that releases the shackles of the world and the sin that we live in right now. The same authority that raised him from the dead is the same authority that lives inside each and every one of us. This king has poured out his spirit on all flesh. He has poured out his spirit on every race, on every tribe, on every color, on every language, on every tongue, in every city, in every hamlet, in every nation, in every country, in every state. It's across the entire globe. He has poured out his spirit on all flesh so that they can be empowered by a strength that is not their own, so that they can be empowered by a grace that is not their own, so that they can be empowered by a courage that is not their own, but it comes from the one. From Jesus. He has poured out his spirit so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The power that shook the gates of hell when Jesus died is the same power that shakes the gates of hell today. We have got to believe that. The power that shook the gates of hell is the same power that shakes the gates of hell today. That power has not changed. The power of the enemy has not changed in such a way that it can usurp the power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The power of condemnation has not changed so that it can usurp the power of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That power has not changed. The power of the enemy still has to bow at the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the enemy still has to bow the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We got to believe that he's still setting captives free. We got to believe that he is still making a way where there seems to be no way. We got to believe that he is still conquering the enemy on every side. We still got to believe that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We still got to believe that he is the Lion and the Lamb, the Savior and the Conqueror, the one who has taken the sin of the world, the one that has redeemed us and called us his own, the one that has given us a destiny and a purpose, the one that doesn't matter about our screw-ups. He still calls us a son and called us a daughter, the one that welcomes the prodigal home. It's the same one that forgives the son that was being angry in the house. The King of kings still rules. The King of kings still reigns. The Lamb is still speaking. The Lion is still speaking. The Lion and the Lamb. We still need both. To eliminate or ignore one is to eliminate and ignore the very attributes and characters of God. The Lion is the conqueror. Hallelujah. Come on now. The lion is the conqueror. He's the warrior. He's the warrior. He's the victor. The lion is the protector, the one who vindicates and fights for his own. The lamb is the sacrifice. The lamb is the redeemer. The lamb is the broken one. The lamb is the one that was beaten. The lamb is the one that was crucified. The one who bled and died for the sins of the world. And it is in this beautiful pairing that we see the completeness of Jesus and the completeness of the redemption of humanity. It is in this beautiful pairing of the lion and the lamb that you see the completeness of you, that I see the completeness of me, and where we can see, and where we can see the completeness of the church. The lion and the lamb. We still need both. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to prepare to close. I was praying this morning in my office. Not because I'm particularly pious, but because I was desperately afraid. If I'm completely truthful with you, the enemy's got a way of getting in my head. The enemy's got a way of hitting me where he knows it'll hurt me. And I was praying this morning. I wasn't praying for you yet. I was praying for me. So I prayed for me, and then I figured I'd probably pray for you too. I didn't know who was going to be here today. We never know that for sure. But I was praying. I said, God, I'm going to preach this message with all I have. I'm going to preach this message whether there's 15 people in this building or there's 150 people in this building. But I was scared to preach this message because sometimes you just feel like you're preaching to the choir and everybody out there saying, blah, 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 we know all this. But in a way that only God can do, God just orchestrated something beautiful this weekend here at Landmark. In my estimation. I'll confess, the communion meal today meant more to me than I think it has in a long time. To possibly my own discredit, my own little wanderings. God did something in my heart with this message. Before I even came downstairs to deliver it to you, but if I can grasp the power of the lion and the power of the lamb, it's really going to change who I am, change my world. And if it can do that for me, I know it can do that for you. And if it can do that for me and it can do that for you, then I know it can do it for your neighbor and your coworker and your boss and the checker down at Albertsons and the barista down at Starbucks. Oh, the power of his sacrifice. I've come to the point of the message where it's easy for me to babble. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for our church. I'm going to pray for our community, and I'm going to pray for not just Landmark Church, but the Big C Church across the entire globe. And as I pray, do not expect me to pray for you. I want you to pray with me that we can embrace this message and live the life that God has planned for us. Let's do that. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm just really, really thankful today. For the power of your word, for the power of your Holy Ghost, I'm so thankful that you still set captives free, that you still fix broken things. That the blood of God will never ever lose its power. Oh man, how I wish I could sing sometimes. Oh, the blood that reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, the blood that reaches to the lowest valley. That blood that gives me strength from day to day. The blood will never ever lose its power. Thank you for the communion meal today, Jesus, and all that it represents and the power that is in it. Thank you for the authority of the Holy Ghost that is alive in us and can still defeat the enemy on every side. Thank you, God, for the charge and the mission of the church. Thank you that we are your sons and your daughters, that we are your kids. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for church today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lion and the lamb. Church still needs both. I love you lots. Thanks for coming to church today, for worshiping with us, for being with us. We're going to dismiss you now in the name of Jesus. Blessings on each and every one of you as you do the things you need to do today and this week. Love on somebody on your way out. Give somebody a hug, a high five, a handshake, whatever might be appropriate. We love you lots. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed this morning. Have a great afternoon. We look forward to seeing you soon.